Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Friday morning. Room for you at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And we'll get back into the Shane Burgo discussion. But, you know, we were talking about toboggans, wooden toboggans. And DSY offered to find me one, but I don't think I'd be interested in one anymore. I don't think I'm in the tobogganing kind of age of my life anymore. Because now if I actually did break something, it's going to be a lot harder for it to heal. And thankfully, you know, knock on Formica here, I have never broken a bone. So that's, I guess I have that going for me. But then, of course, I used to always say, I've never had surgery. And then I had surgery twice in 3 months. So maybe I should probably not say those kind of things. But I think my tobogganing days are probably over. Even though I'm in the best shape of my life. Which is not exactly true, but it's only the best shape of my adult life. I don't think tobogganing is a good idea. I did consider, because my brother likes to go skiing with his family. Actually, I think they do snowboarding. And he was talking about going, and he said, you should come with us. And I was thinking about it like, gee, maybe it'd be fun. I'd have to like rent a snowboard, but maybe it'd be fun to go and try. And I was like, no, why would I do that? I hate going up ski lifts. I hate the cold. I hate the snow. Why would I do that? But who knows? I always said I wanted to skydive, and I never did that. I always said I wanted to ride across the country on a railroad, and I will do that someday. I just hope that by the time I have the time in my schedule to do that, that railroads across the country are still a thing. But I don't want to just take an Amtrak. I want to take like some of those old locomotives too. Like it's not just about getting across the country, it's going to parts of the country where they have some of those old railways and riding those. So as a train nerd, I'll probably do that when I'm retired. I used to always say my idea of retirement, not that I ever plan on retiring, but I would get like a little cottage up in Conway, New Hampshire, North Conway. I grow out my beard, look like Santa Claus, and live like a hermit in the woods and work on the railroad up there. But I think I probably won't do all that. That sounds too ambitious for me. 508-996-0500. So let's get back into this Shane Burgo discussion. So as I mentioned earlier, he reached out to me yesterday. He asked if he can come on the program Tuesday morning in the 8 o'clock hour, which will be the day after the city council election. So win or lose on Monday night, Shane Burgo will be here with us in the 8 o'clock hour taking your calls. And as I said, you know, normally I know when most of those conversations happen in Chris McCarthy's show, there's probably a couple of things involved in that. One, his schedule, because we know he has to take time off of work to be on Chris's show. So that might play a part in it. Two, Chris has been publicly, you know, campaigning against him on the radio. So maybe he doesn't want to come in and deal with that. Or maybe, you know, if you win, I think you'd want to come in and like, yeah, I won anyway. But and also, too, I think it's good for you to have a chance to call in with your questions. Like I said, I'm going to try to ask all the questions that I think you'll have, but it's good for you to be able to talk to any elected official. And that's why I would never deny any of them airtime. And I've said this before on the program, you know, any elected official locally, statewide, nationally, who wants to come on the program, I will always find a way to make time. Even if, you know, if I've got somebody scheduled or if I've already got a previously scheduled segment to run or something, you know, we'll move it if we can, but I'll always make time for them. The only exception is like if I'm right up against a break or I only have a little bit, I might say, oh, call the next hour. But I try to always accommodate because, you know, these are public airwaves and you, the public, want to hear from your elected officials and want to be able to ask them questions. So that's, he'll join us on Tuesday, but there's a pretty in-depth column from Jack Spillane at NewBedfordLight.org that talks about both what Chris has been talking about on the air and what Lorenzo Gonzalez, the New Bedford Police Union president, has been apparently sending emails about, which is them saying that you should be reaching out to your counselor and telling them not to support Shane Burgo for council president. And as I've been saying, what difference does it make? What is he going to do as council president that you are so afraid of? Because the answer is, all of these things that are being brought up to you as reasons you should be, and it's fear-mongering more than anything, they're what I call the Burgo boogeymen, because there's nothing really to it. So let's break them all down one at a time, okay? Shane Burgo wants to open up a tent city in New Bedford's near the airport where they're going to round up all the homeless people and have them live. Okay, well, let's break that down. As city council president, how could he do that? The answer, he can't. If somehow Mayor Mitchell was to leave office and Shane Burgo is elevated to the mayorship of New Bedford, how can he make that happen? Well, he can go over there and say, I'm decreeing this a homeless camp. But then the homeless organizations need to all locate their services there. They don't want to do that. The homeless people need to all go and congregate there. They don't want to do that. The police would then need to round up the homeless people and bring them to said tent city. They're not going to do that. The chief has said that. Then when the homeless people got to this tent city, they would have to stay there. They're not going to do that. So it's not going to happen. And Shane Burgo never said he wanted it to happen. What he said was that an organization had suggested it as a potential solution and that he wanted to talk it out and explore it. And obviously the conversations that have resulted in it are, it shouldn't happen. And he only threw out the idea of putting it up near the airport as a potential location, not a targeted location. But the bottom line is it's not going to happen because nobody that needs to be supportive of that idea to execute it is supportive of that idea, including the people who have the free will whether or not to live there that are outright telling the homeless service providers that they wouldn't live there. There's a reason why they're in different camps all over the city because they don't want to congregate together. They're living in tents because they don't want to be hanging out with the other people that are in the shelters. They're choosing to live the way that they're living, and they're going to continue to do that. So that's Burgo boogeyman number one, debunked. Burgo boogeyman number two. He wants to turn Ash Street into a homeless shelter for former felons. As Sheriff Arose said on Chris's program, it's basically the germ of an idea. It's a conversation that has started about one potential use for the sheriff's home, which is not the Ash Street Jail, but rather a building associated with the property where the sheriff used to live back in the old days and which has been used as administrative offices and I guess is mostly empty now. And and as I've said before, it's where Lizzie Borden stayed when she was at Ash Street. And so this is a house. And the idea is that this house would be utilized as a place where people who are no longer convicted felons, who have been released back into society and have the right to go wherever they want, which means if they so chose, they could live right next door to you. They could live in the apartment on the second floor above you. They could rent a room in your home. They could live wherever they wanted to among you, the people, because they are now free and have paid their debt to society and are now looking to make their lives better and not end up going back into prison. So the sheriff's home would become a place for them to go and have the resources that they need to be able to find a job, find housing, probably get some counseling on how to reintegrate back into society. Keep in mind that, you know, some people might have been short-term folks that have only been locked up for a bit. Some might have been people who have been locked up for many, many years. And as part of those services, Sheriff Heroa said they would have 10 to 15 beds available on the second floor if those people needed a place to crash for the night, so they didn't have to go and sleep on the street. He's not going to allow them to live there and call it their residential address. They are not going to suddenly get on the voter rolls of New Bedford, unless they already are, you know, on the voter rolls of New Bedford. But they're not going to list that as their legal address to go and vote. And even if they do go and vote, what are 15 people going to do? I mean, I guess the voter turnout can be so low in some cases that maybe 15 people can do something, but they're not going to do that. They're interested in getting their lives back on track so they don't go back to prison. They're not looking to sway a New Bedford City Council election. Or even a New Bedford mayoral election. And also, nobody might use those beds at all. If the program is successful and is doing its job, they're finding them actual housing in the community and jobs right away. It's just a fail-safe to keep them from having to go on the street and adding to the city's homeless problem. And why are they using it for prisoners and not for the average homeless person to come and stay in? Because it is a building that is owned by the county through the Department of Correction. So it has to be utilized as such. If you're going to ask, well, why can't homeless people go and stay in those beds then you have to ask, well, then why can't a homeless person go stay in an empty cell at the Dartmouth House of Correction so that they have a place to stay? Because that's not what it's for. So there's another Burgo boogeyman debunked. That's, allow me to bring it all back too, to say that's just the germ of an idea. It's probably not going to happen. If the idea is to move everybody out of Ash Street and turn that property back over to the county to decide what to do with, which would maybe be sell it to the city, for the city to then sell it to a developer, they're probably going to want to take the sheriff's home with it too. But this is just an idea, a conversation worth having. And that's what Shane Burgo has said that he will always do, is have these conversations. Doesn't mean that they're going to turn into formal plans or that it's his desire to see those things happen. It's been mischaracterized as such. So again, Burgo boogeyman number two debunked. Number three, Shane Burgo wants to defund the police. As Jack Spillane reports in his column at newbedfordlight.org, he could not find any time in which Shane Burgo ever voted to debunk the police. And the direct quote that Shane Burgo gave to Jack Spillane for this column, "I have never at any point, publicly or privately, advocated for defunding the police." There are other people in the column, including fellow counselors, who have said that this is not Shane Burgo's position. Burgo boogeyman number three, debunked. And Burgo boogeyman number four, that because a far left progressive person might potentially be the mayor of New Bedford as city council president, that businesses would be reluctant to come and invest here, that businesses would not want to move here, that businesses would shy away because they're worried about a dwindling police force that would leave en masse because of Shane Burgo possibly being the mayor. That's not going to happen. What businesses are coming into New Bedford right now? Offshore wind, blue economy jobs, people who are looking for a far left progressive person to be in charge of a city. Because those are the kind of people that push those kind of policies. So the businesses that are investing in New Bedford would continue investing in New Bedford. They'd be more likely to invest in New Bedford because they would think they would have a friendly mayor or potential mayor in Shane Burgo. Where are all these other businesses that are supposed to be coming here right now that are looking to come to New Bedford? Where are they right now if there is a more moderate Democrat mayor in position right now? Where are they? Why didn't the Advanced Manufacturing Campus get any bids? Where are they? The fact is they're not coming here, and it has nothing to do with who the mayor is or who the city council president is. They don't want to pay the tax rate. So they go to Fall River where it's cheaper. They don't care who the mayor is. They don't care who the city council president is. They can't name a city councilor unless that city councilor has been advocating for them to come and be part of the community. Burgo boogeyman number 4, debunked. I think that's enough. I think we've got them all. Now you can say, I think Sean Oliver would be a better city council president, so I'm going to call my counselor and tell them to vote for Sean Oliver. And that's totally fine. I think, as I've said before, I think Sean Oliver would also make a great city council president. And certainly will be. But you should be making that decision based on the fact that you think he would do a better job than Shane Burgo, not based on a bunch of these boogeymen that are being thrown out there. I mean, if there's any business owner that was thinking about coming to New Bedford and is worried about whether or not Shane Burgo is the city council president or even the mayor, give me a call, 508-996-0500. Make your point known, because I haven't heard from anybody. Because in the end, it doesn't matter. The city council presidency is not going to have a direct effect in your life. It has a direct effect on how the council runs. And yeah, you can have somebody that might encourage some of the divisiveness. And then you get a bunch of people that aren't going to do anything. But that's a personality thing. It's not a policy thing. It's not an ideology thing. That's, for lack of a better term, sometimes grown-ups can't act like grown-ups. So I'm failing to see where New Bedford would go down the tubes if on Monday night the city council elects Shane Burgo. And by the way, in Jack's reporting, he mentions that the rank and file members of the police union don't seem to be of the same mindset of the president that that it should be anybody but Shane Burgo, who, by the way, again, was the number 2 vote getter in the last city council election, which means that at least the people in New Bedford who come out to vote in a city election are in support of Shane Burgo, because that is an at-large seat that is voted on across the city, and he was the number 2 vote getter. And the fact that, you know, councilors are actually thinking about this in terms of what will the public opinion be if I make this choice, just to turn off your radio. You're just listening to too much of WBSM, which I normally wouldn't say that anybody could listen to too much of WBSM. You should listen to more. Always listen to more. But it's clouding your thoughts. I mean, if you took a straw poll of how many people that call in and complain about anything going on in the city, A, even live in the city. Because I can tell you for a fact, there's a guy that calls up and talks about this all the time who lives in Dartmouth. There's a guy who calls up and talks about this all the time and lives in Assonet. They don't have anything to do with New Bedford. They're not voting for you. They're not going to vote you out if they don't like the way that you vote. But, and again, I'm just using them as examples. They certainly have their right to their opinion. But I'm just saying, it's not representative of how the people feel. And I said earlier, it's disheartening to hear so many people call in that are against wanting to help the homeless, that are against wanting to help people who have been released from prison, who are against wanting to help people who are struggling with addiction. But that's a topic for a different time. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back in. It is time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
New details on the man behind the deadly attack in New Orleans. Donald Trump plans a major rally in D.C. before his inauguration, and how to make those New Year's resolutions stick.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The FBI says the attack on Bourbon Street was an act of terrorism. Over a dozen people were killed and dozens more injured when a truck plowed through a crowd in the New Orleans hotspot in the early hours of the new year. FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Raya added the suspect pledged his support for ISIS on social media just hours before the attack. They believe he acted alone. The driver who died when a Cybertruck blew up outside the Trump Las Vegas Hotel has been identified as an Army vet from Colorado. Law enforcement sources tell the New York Post that 37-year-old Matthew Livelessberger rented the electric truck that exploded on New Year's Day and was in the driver's seat when it blew up. The FBI investigating the explosion as a possible terror attack. Two people are dead and at least 18 more injured after a plane crashed into a warehouse in Fullerton, California. The plane reportedly crashed into the building around 2 p.m. on Thursday. Of the 18 people injured, 10 were taken to a hospital and 8 were treated at the scene. The FBI is releasing new information about the person who placed two pipe bombs near the RNC and DNC headquarters on January 6th of 2021. Authorities still have no suspects and haven't identified a motive for the crimes. On Thursday, they released new video of the person placing one of the bombs near the DNC. The FBI says they estimate the person to be about 5'7". A $500,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the suspect's arrest. Donald Trump is planning a major rally in Washington, D.C. on the eve of his inauguration. Amid a heightened terror threat level, Trump announced he'll host what he called a victory rally you'll never forget for 20,000 of his supporters on January 19th. Trump hasn't held a rally in D.C. since January 6th of 2021, which preceded an insurrection at the Capitol building by some of his followers. Some officials say the short notice for the rally and the recent attacks in New Orleans and Vegas could present security problems. And getting in shape and losing weight come out on top for New Year's resolutions. Healthy living experts warn not to bite off more than you can chew and to start slow by building up your exercise routine instead of jumping into tough workouts. Just getting on a treadmill or walking for 20 minutes at least 3 times a week is a great place to start.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 118-115. Tonight they're in Houston to play the Rockets. Bruins lost to the New York Rangers 2-1. Their next game is Saturday in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. And the Patriots host the Buffalo Bills in Foxborough on Sunday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Breezy and mostly sunny on the South Coast today with a high of 38 degrees. On Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 31. On Sunday, cloudy with a high of 30. And on Monday, cloudy again with a high of 32. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
All right, it is Friday. It's time to check in with Eric over at the Butcher Shop. Good morning, sir. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year, Tim, man. What's going on, brother?
Not much. How was your holidays?
Good. Good New Year passed. It was fast. It was busy. It was what it is, man.
Well, now you get all you got all the New Year, New Me people coming in now looking for the lean meats and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, everybody's going to be on a diet, brother.
That's but the people who are smart like us that know it's all about moderation, they can go over there and get themselves some good stuff, too.
Picking out whatever they want, my man. I got chicken. I got nice filet. I got tomahawks. I got prime rib. I got everything, brother, just for the carnivore diet. You know what I'm saying? They're all doing that stuff.
Right, yeah, yeah. What do they call that? Keto diet? Yeah, you can,
I guess
the caveman.
Yeah.
You can just eat all the meat over there at the butcher shop. But you've got other things, too. People want to treat themselves as well. I mean, I love the rice pudding over there.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, today, you know, today's got favas. I got the rice pudding my mother made. You know what I got? That now is the time of year everybody buys French meat pie, dude. People love French meat pie when it gets nippy out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that you're going to get a lot of people that want to come in there and say to themselves, you know, I want to eat better. I want to eat healthier. And you guys have, like, you know, it's real good food. This isn't processed food. This isn't stuff that's coming from some of these, you know, these places where they just put all the animals together in these pens. And, like, you got good quality meat there.
Yeah, I got a lot of it's cage-free stuff. It's good stuff I get, man. You know how it goes. Not peanut butter and jelly, brother.
No, absolutely not. But you do have peanut butter and jelly on the shelf if anybody wants that, too.
I do.
Oh, sometimes you need a little, sometimes you need a fluffer nutter to make yourself feel better.
You ain't wrong there.
All right, what are you going to have this weekend?
Brother, you know what? I think I'm going to have a tomahawk this weekend.
Ooh, there you go. Start the year off right.
Prime rib, pretty much. What are you going to do?
You start eating that in January, you'll still be finishing that up on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. Well, we'll check in with you next week and give a Happy New Year to everybody for us over there.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody, man. Come on down to the butcher shop, dude. We're waiting.
All right. That's the butcher shop, 123 Dharma Street in New Bedford. Thanks, Eric. Talk to you next week.
I'll talk to you, man. Bye-bye.
And, yeah, definitely, if you are looking to get yourself on a diet where you can what's the word I'm looking for? Treat yourself without overindulging, right? You know that you've got to have more protein in your diet, but you also want to make sure that it's actually something delicious and good. Don't waste your time going to the supermarket and getting the stuff in the styrofoam. Go over to the butcher shop where they're going to cut it exactly the way that you want it. And you want it a little bit leaner, they'll make it leaner for you. You want a little bit of extra gristle on there. You want to be able to fry up some of that fat, they'll make sure you get that too. And what do they say to eat, right? Eat a lot more pork. Well, get some of those celebrity pork chops. You'll feel like you're having a steak. That's how good they are. Again, the butcher shop, 123 Dharma Street in New Bedford. My number here, 508-996-0500. App chat is open on the WBSM app. Firefighter Anthony sent in an app chat message. Good morning, Mr. W and fellow listeners. Happy birthday to Tim. And a fire safety reminder is after blowing out birthday candles, let them soak in water overnight before discarding them to the trash. Wishing everyone a safe and happy new year from Firefighter Anthony. And you know, I didn't know that. I've always just kind of put them out. I usually try to make everybody cringe and I lick my fingers and put it out rather than blow on it. Because then that way there, if I blow on the cake, everybody gets my germs. And I've got a cold. But I'll just sit there and if there's 47 candles, I'm going to go psh, 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 put out 47 candles with my fingers. But although I don't have the same calluses I used to have. But definitely listen to Firefighter Anthony. Wash those candles underwater. Run them underwater to make sure they are definitely out before you put them away. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim, and Happy New Year.
To you as well.
So you were mentioning about the Shane Burgo situation. So there was one thing that stood out to me when you said that an organization approached him about this tent city stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any statement from him to say he's not for it? Because I haven't heard that. So if he's willing to listen to ideas about it, that leaves the window open that he might be convinced somewhere down the line that somebody might put some, you know, more information in his ear that he would be all for a tent city. Because as far as I know, okay, because Mayor Mitchell multiple times on the radio has debunked that and said, no, there's not going to be any tent city in the city of New Bedford. It's right. Not going to happen, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. So if he's saying that, I also heard the mayor say that the taxes, and he literally said that to me on the radio on Chris's show, that he was not, and multiple times to me, that he was not going to raise the taxes. I know it's not him that raises the taxes. That's through the city council that does that. But
right.
He's the one that sets the budget, right? So I know before the election, he already had an idea of what, I mean, come on, Nate, do you agree that at some point he must have knew what more or less what the budget would be? And then the council actually, you know, set the rate, which was the same, but everybody's values of their houses have gone up. So for Shane, you know, as far as the taxes go, too, also, he doesn't even pay taxes in the city of New Bedford. He doesn't have property in the city, as far as I know. That's what I was told. So see what I'm saying? So about the leaving that window open, he should come out with a statement, because I haven't heard any, to say that, no, I am not for no tent city. It's not going to happen. And he's going to be on the radio station on, on Tuesday.
Tuesday morning.
I hope he does say that to the public so people can hear that, because I can't comment on the other stuff. Like, if he never said defund the police, I'm going to take his word for that. There's no word out there or any comment of him saying, no, defund the police, because let's face it, that'd be kind of ridiculous that, defunding the police anyway, because we're...
The police are kind of defunding themselves by people leaving, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Some people are retiring early, but I guess also the police chief has said that their enrollment is very low right now, and they need like 200-some-odd officers, and they're not even at that point. I guess some say it should be around 220, some say 240. Whatever. I think that's the numbers anyway, but they're short on officers on the street. So if that was ever to come to fruition with, to downsize or whatever, the police department, that'd be kind of crazy. But, that's why I stand with it. I can't say about the housing. We have to see what happens with that. You know what I mean? Like you said, you're saying it's the building, the house itself versus somebody else's stand is that it's the whole facility.
Yeah, it's not the whole facility.
We'll have to play it out. But I like to hear these people say and put them on the record and say, I don't want it, because the mayor did that, and I can't believe anything that comes out of the mayor's mouth, because he has been caught in so many lies, or he'll pivot to something like kind of come back to it a different way. Because there was a time, there was a situation where there was a couple that walked from the mills there next to the Whales Tooth. They live at the lofts over there, I guess. And they walked up the sidewalk next to the end of, almost where the freezers are. And they complained that the overgrown of the grass, it was really tall. And the mayor put it on his old Facebook page saying that it was a company property, and they'll look into it and make sure that they clean it up, and they'll get fined if they don't do it. Well, come to find out, it wasn't. That's city property. And then he finally said on his page that it was all cleaned up by his workers. So he knew it was city property because it was a city sidewalk. So I have a really hard time.
Did he know, or was he mistaken?
No, he knew, because the complaint was that they said, the people that was walking on it said the sidewalks are full of overgrown weeds in between the guardrails, the wooden guardrails and all that protect. Right before the freezer there that has the whales on it and all stuff over there. You know what I'm talking about?
But hold on. So where did they say it? Did they say that by calling in when the mayor was on? Or
no, I believe it was, I want to say that this was last year, so my memory certainly right. I want to say it was the Standard Times that reported it, and they took the story, and then John Mitchell commented on his Facebook page. So, I have very, very, very not very much confidence in these city officials saying one thing and then talking out of two sides of their mouth. You know what I'm saying? So let's play it out. But I don't know. Have you heard any comments from Shane Burgo about he is not for tent city 100%?
Well, I never heard a comment from him saying that he was 100% for them. So that's why I don't think I've heard him saying that he's not against them. What he said was somebody approached him with the idea, and that it was worth having a conversation about.
Okay, so that leaves, so you said it's worth having it. So that leaves Heath, maybe we can listen to it.
Because he's the chair of the Committee on Housing and Homelessness, and there was criticism against him that he hadn't held meetings and they hadn't done anything. So now it seems like he's taking the approach of, let's talk about any potential solution. And I've heard him say the same thing about, having more of the dwellings, the accessory dwelling units. I've heard him talk the same thing about other different housing possibilities. So I think he's just saying, we should be open to any possible solution. And then when we have the conversation, then we can weigh in on whether or not we think that it's a viable solution or not. Because at least we've given it some oxygen first to hear it out before we made a decision.
Yeah. Well, hasn't he learned that throughout California, they tried 10 cities and it didn't work? I mean, it hasn't worked for years and years and years. So obviously that's public knowledge.
Maybe the people who are advocating for this, who have also seen those same news reports, maybe they have a different idea and a different approach that might actually work in that regard. So he's saying it's worth at least listening to them rather than saying to them, no, hey, thanks for all the great work that you do with helping the homeless, but I don't want to listen to your ideas.
Okay, so Shane's saying possibly we'll listen to it. But the mayor's saying no, no, no. So who's going to have authority on that? Will it be the mayor? Because you see what I'm saying? So you're going to have some infighting between the mayor saying no. It's definitely not going to happen. But yet Shane is willing to.
I don't think you'll have any infighting because none of the homeless people want it. None of the homeless service providers want it.
I understand that, but who knows? Those people could change their mind also. And say, hey, you know what? I'll have a place to take a shower. I'll have a place to eat. I'll have a place to sleep. You're leaving that option open. I understand what you're saying. I understand. But the mayor's saying, no, it's not going to happen because of, other parts of the country have tried it and it has not worked with violence happening and everything else. So we'll have to wait and see on that. I can't comment much on the other stuff. We'll have to, like you said, if there's no comments made by Shane Burgo about defunding the police, I'll take as far as, for what his word on that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the jail, whether with the house, if that's what's going on, I think what people are having a hard time with it, Tim, is that it was discussed, I guess, secretly with the sheriff of Bristol County. I guess then they had a conversation, correct?
Hold on, let's not characterize it as secret. Two people had a conversation, and then one of the people that had that conversation brought it up on the radio. There's no secret happening there.
Now, I'm not saying that. That's what people are saying, that it was all of a sudden it was brought up out of the blue. Like,
people
nobody else heard about it. And, I'm just pointing out what I've heard. And you know what I mean? I can't comment because he hasn't said it on the radio. So it would have been nicer, better convenient that he would be on the radio before the vote is taken. Because I have my funny suspicions that he knows he has the votes. So obviously I don't have any dog in the fight because we can't vote on it. You know what I mean? But we'll have to wait and see how that plays out also. But I wish he would have been on the radio with you or whoever, whatever host before the vote and then let the people hear. You know what I mean? And
either way,
people from the city like myself or anybody else, not saying which way I'm going to go with it, but to call their city councilors and saying, no, we don't want him or we do want him or we want Sean Oliver or we don't want Sean Oliver. They can voice their opinions by calling in their city council, leave a message or send an email and, express their concerns about these topics you are talking about. That's all I'm bringing up.
We'll definitely bring it up on Tuesday, though, that's for sure. I got to hold you there.
Thank you.
Got to take a break. Thank you. And I see we got Carlos on hold. Carlos, hang on. I'll get to you as soon as I come back. Let me take this quick break, and we'll be right back. Back to the phones, 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM. Why isn't it? There we go.
Hey, how's it going, Tim?
Good. How are you doing?
So I think actions speak louder than words, and he doesn't necessarily have to say that he's for defunding the police. But by the people that he chooses to support and surround himself with, and the fact that in certain points in time when he had the opportunity to uplift the police, he has done nothing publicly as his role as a city councilor at large. He has belittled the police. In fact, he believes it's a part-time job, the city council gig, right? And he hasn't even had the time or the effort to read the TAC report. We're still waiting. when he had an opportunity to write a letter of support for a police officer that was shot in the face, he couldn't be bothered. He couldn't take that opportunity. He's a part-time counselor, full-time liberal. That's the problem. He doesn't have to say he wants to defund the police. It's the people that he supports and the things that he does that tells us he will defund the police if he has the opportunity. Okay? He claims to be the champion of the unhoused, but when he had an opportunity to come down and see some horrendous living situations up in the North End, to this date, he still hasn't gone and seen it. Even though the city's taken some action, I believe they started turning that around, but not with the help of Virgo. Actions speak louder than words.
So he didn't...
He talks a big game, but he doesn't show us the big game.
He didn't write the letter, but didn't he co-sponsor the motion to give full disability benefits to that police officer?
Actions speak louder than words. He wasn't present, and he couldn't be bothered to send the letter.
Isn't co-sponsoring the effort to do that, isn't that an action? Wouldn't that inherently say that he was for it?
I'm looking at it through my lens, and this is how I feel. If I was a counselor, and I think any decent human being, if you were a counselor, you would take the 10 to 20 minutes it would take to pen a letter in support to an officer that took a bullet to the face to protect people like Shane Burgo. Because they are the type of people.
I think co-sponsoring the motion says the exact same thing.
Excuse me?
I think co-sponsoring the motion says the exact same thing. I think that's exactly what it says when you co-sponsor the motion.
Well, I have more respect for the other 10 people who stood there in front of the people showing their support. And if you couldn't be there, then it would be respectful, someone incumbent of that responsibility as a city council at large, especially someone who wants to rise to be the president and beyond as a mayor. He's not showing grace. He's not showing respect. He can't even be bothered. The only reason why he's responding now is because the you-know-what has hit the fan. People are fed up with this loony toony thinking, and people want to right the ship. Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. I got to take another break. Caller, hang on. If we get some time, we'll get you in. If not, Chris McCarthy's waiting to take your calls coming up the next hour, but I got to get this last break in. We'll be right back. Let's finish up with a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Hello, Gilly.
Question.
Yes.
Can you explain to me when somebody's against the shot spotter? Is that defunding the police?
No, because there's a lot of folks who are for the police that believe ShotSpotter is an ineffective tool.
It's an ineffective tool. Okay.
There's people in law enforcement that feel that ShotSpotter is an ineffective tool.
Okay, because he told the chief that he wasn't going to support the ShotSpotter. That's all I wanted to know. If that's the law, that's okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of people in law enforcement who have questions about the efficacy of ShotSpotter. And it's not that they don't like the idea of what it is. They just feel like that it's not effective enough and that that needs to have better tweaks to the way that it operates before it justifies the cost to a municipality. But that's the slings and arrows that come with any technology. You know, that if it's not as effective as people want it to be, they don't want to spend the money on it. So that's what that comes down to. But I've talked to people in law enforcement that say ShotSpotter is not worth the money. And that's why Fall River got rid of ShotSpotter, didn't they? I think they took it out. I think they had it and they go over. There was another city in Massachusetts that said we actually had it and we stopped paying for it because we were just responding to things that weren't actual shots fired. And then when shots actually were fired, we weren't getting notifications. So again, it's not a foolproof system. I honestly think it's better than nothing. And I think that the cost is justified, but that's just my opinion. Other people feel differently. All right, well, we'll be back on Monday. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. I wonder if he's going to talk about Shane Burgo and the city council presidency. I'm sure he's going to take your phone calls as well at 508-996-0500. We will have Shane Burgo at 8 o'clock Tuesday morning.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.